Prabhupada by Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. If the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not bestowed upon a person, regardless of how learned a scholar that person may be, and regardless of his seeing or listening, he cannot accept Lord Chaitanya as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So please repeat after me. If the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not bestowed upon a person, regardless of how learned a scholar that person may be, and regardless of his seeing or listening, he cannot accept Lord Chaitanya as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. The same principles here can be applied to demoniac persons, even though they may be in the Sampradaya of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Without receiving the Lord's special power, one cannot preach his glories all over the world. Even though one may celebrate himself as a learned follower of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and even though one may attempt to preach the holy name of the Lord all over the world, if he is not favored by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he will find fault with the pure devotee and will not be able to understand how a preacher is empowered by Lord Chaitanya. One must be considered bereft of the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he criticizes the Krishna consciousness movement now spreading all over the world, or finds fault with this movement or the leader of the movement. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Sya Shri Rupam Sahagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutan Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Sya He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschachadishatarine Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Tandra Kripa Nahayare Pandita Naikene Dekila Shunileha Tandre Ishwaranamane. If the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not bestowed upon a person, regardless of how learned a scholar that person may be, and regardless of his seeing or listening, he cannot accept Lord Chaitanya as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this verse is being spoken by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to Maharaj Prataparudra. And the context of this verse is Maharaj Prataparudra was desperately wanting to have the darshan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and receive his mercy. But Mahaprabhu was resisting, saying that he is a king. A king is a worldly person. And a saintly person, and especially a sannyasi, would not and should not associate with worldly persons, because one becomes contaminated by such association. So fortunately for Maharaj Prataparudra, he had many of the great associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu backing him. He had Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya backing him. He had Ramananda Rai backing him. But still externally, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not relenting. But they came up with some strategies of how Maharaj Prataparudra could get the darshan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One suggestion was that, and this would be from afar, that the Ratha Yatra festival was taking place. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would attend the Ratha Yatra festival, and there he would dance and associate. So Maharaj Prataparudra was advised to stand on the balcony and get the darshan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Anyway, many things happened through that, but he was able to witness the Prema Sankirtan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates. Followed by that, 200 associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from Bengal, they had come for the Ratha Yatra festival, as they would traditionally do every year. And Maharaj Prataparudra was being introduced to each of these wonderful associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it's been particularly relishable simply hearing the names of all Mahaprabhu's Bengali associates. So then we moved on to a conversation where Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he glorifies the Prema Sankirtan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He speaks that how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to deliver everyone in this age of Kali through the chanting of the holy name. And then he says that whoever worships Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the congregational chanting should be understood to be very intelligent. And then the verse is quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna Vanam Twisha Krishna Sangum Pangasta Parshadam Yagne Sankirtan Priya Yajanti He Si Sumedeshaha. And basically that verse is saying that only intelligent people in this age of Kali accept Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they recognize him through his Harinam Sankirtan movement and his associates. Then that caused a question to arise in the mind of Maharaj Prataparudra. And in verse 101, the king said, according to evidence given in the revealed scripture, it is concluded that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Lord Krishna himself. Why then are learned scholars sometimes indifferent to him? So he had a question, and according to his mind, it was like a no-brainer. It was more than obvious that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead by dint of his activities. But yet, we noticed that despite this particular situation, there are classes of people who fail to recognize Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and who fail to adopt the process of Harinam Sankirtan as he has given. So this is a relevant question, isn't it? Sometimes we, as the members of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, we try to extend ourselves and give people Krishna Consciousness, and we ask them, please take to it. And in our naivety, sometimes we think, you know, this is more than obvious. It's just completely beneficial. It's so blissful. You know, why wouldn't anybody just accept Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the process he has given and take to Krishna consciousness? Sometimes we wonder and sometimes we get a little frustrated. So from the perspective of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he gives an answer to this question. Oh, Maharaj, you are here. Maharaj, I think you should speak. You sure, Maharaj, you should speak. I feel awkward, Maharaj. You like Maharaj to speak or you want me to continue? Okay, Maharaj, but feel free to add at any time. You know, you realize I'm just a neophyte. So this is a very relevant question. And we see the answer that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya gives. And he gives it almost the same answer, but from two different perspectives. Firstly, says a person who has received but a small fraction of mercy from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can understand that he is Lord Krishna. No one else can. So the very simple response, it's simple but at the same time deep. He's saying that one who has received a small fraction of the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will accept he is none other than Krishna himself and he will adopt the process of Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada's purport to that explanation is very interesting and it continues in this verse. So that was from one perspective. So almost the same thing he says from another perspective in this verse. He says, if the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not bestowed upon a person, regardless of how learned a scholar that person may be, and regardless of him seeing or listening, he cannot accept Lord Chaitanya as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So again he's saying, you know, the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not bestowed upon a person. So he's giving a slightly different take on this. He's saying that now he's sort of giving a qualification of when the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu may not be bestowed. And he says here, regardless of them being a learned person. And then he says, Deki le shuni leha. Even by seeing, even by listening, that person cannot accept the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So if someone has not seen Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, has not heard from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then we can have some understanding. But it is said that despite seeing and hearing, that person will not accept Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Srila Prabhupada's purport is very interesting and very penetrating. And everything Srila Prabhupada says has relevance to us. And, you know, we should try to see when we read Srila Prabhupada's purports and his translations, what relevance it has to me. Srila Prabhupada's opening line of the purport, he says, the same principles can be applied to demoniac persons, even though they may be in the sampradaya of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, this is in one sense a very startling statement because we would never expect someone who is in the sampradaya of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be labeled as demoniac. It's a contradiction, you know. You cannot be in the sampradaya of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and at the same time be labeled as demoniac. So this is something worth thinking about deeper. Prabhupada goes on to saying, without receiving this Lord's special power, one cannot preach his glories all over the world. And Srila Prabhupada sort of summarizes everything else he says here in the last sentence. He says, one must be considered bereft of the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he criticizes the Krishna consciousness movement, now spreading all over the world, or finds fault with this movement or the leader of the movement. Now, without getting into the detail, most of us will know who Srila Prabhupada is referring to here. He is referring to his own god brothers. He's the disciples of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. And it's not nice to speak about and repeat the criticism of the spiritual master. Actually, it's detrimental. There's one story in Mayapur. Once Srila Prabhupada's disciples went to one of the Gaudiya Math of his god brothers. And when they went there, because they were inimical to Srila Prabhupada and envious, they started to say some inimical things about Srila Prabhupada, his preaching, and himself. So when Srila Prabhupada heard that they had gone, and when they came back, Prabhupada called for them immediately. And Srila Prabhupada said, where have you been? And they said, oh, we've been through certain math of your godbrother. Prabhupada said, okay, why did you go there? And what did you hear them say? So the devotees were starting to get nervous. And then Prabhupada asked, did they say anything about me? Yes, Srila Prabhupada. What did they say? Nothing, Prabhupada. What did they say? Nothing. Then Prabhupada pushed. And eventually they revealed what had been said. And then Prabhupada said, now you have become permanently scarred. You know, I've got a scar here. When I was a child, I fell and hurt. It's permanent. It never goes away. So they were speaking ill of Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada says, now you've become permanently scarred. And, you know, they had criticized Srila Prabhupada for different things, you know, why he didn't preach under the banner of the Gaudiya Math. And we know that Srila Prabhupada, when he went to America, he wrote to his godbrothers and he appealed to them to send devotees, and he wanted very much to preach under the banner of the Gaudiya Math. But because he got no support, no help, then Srila Prabhupada said he had to do it himself, and he formed the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. But yet, despite not wanting to help Srila Prabhupada and cooperate with him, they criticized him for not working under the banner of his spiritual master's movement. And they criticized Srila Prabhupada for the ways he was introducing Krishna consciousness, for giving Brahman initiation to women, to allow women and men to live in the same ashram, for the way he was, you know, pushing the book distribution. And they criticized the ways of how book distribution was being done. You know, they minimized Srila Prabhupada's spiritual position by saying all that he was achieving was just because of his business background as a pharmacist and a business owner in his previous situation. So many ways, you know. They were criticizing and criticizing. And, you know, Srila Prabhupada, it hurt him. And he spoke out against that mentality. And there's much evidence in the Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita and Srila Prabhupada's letters about how he felt about that. But what is quite amazing is despite that, Srila Prabhupada in his final days, when his godbrothers, some of his godbrothers came to see him, he said, I beg for forgiveness from all of you. I was a little strong. I had a sword in one hand and club in the other hand. You know, and I criticized all of you. Prabhupada was perfectly justified in all of his criticism against what they had said and how they had acted. But Srila Prabhupada demonstrated that he was on the highest spiritual position that sees everyone as devotee and himself not as devotee. And Srila Prabhupada, he asked for forgiveness. He's saying, I was a bit strong. And he says, you know what, we are all preaching the same message of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Jai Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai, Shri Sitaram Lakshmi Hanuman Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So Srila Prabhupada said that, there may be different ways if how we were thinking of preaching, but we all united, and Prabhupada took a unified position. But yes, Srila Prabhupada is saying that there is another way that we can recognize someone who has not received the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the very visible way is that they will criticize the Krishna consciousness movement. They will criticize the ways about how the Krishna consciousness movement is being spread. And they will criticize, Prabhupada says here, the leader, because he's referring to himself. But, you know, we can understand, will criticize the leaders of the Krishna consciousness movement. So we can say a few things, but in the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just on these two words, dekhile and shunileha. We can see that the first incident was Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He had seen Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and later on he heard. But firstly, when he saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he recognized that this is an extraordinary personality, but he couldn't recognize that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because he said, you know, he will now make this sannyasi a nice, pukka, Vedantic scholar. And he wanted to convert Mahaprabhu to the Vedanta line. But he couldn't. But when he heard Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speak the true meaning of Vedanta, then he accepted. And we can understand that the moment he accepted, he had received the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Another example in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is when Mahaprabhu went to Varanasi. There he stayed at the house of Chandrasekhar and Tapan Mishra. And every day Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go on the streets and he would do Harinam Sankirtan. And the Mayavadi sannyasis, they would criticize him. Actually, they used a very derogatory word towards Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Anyone knows that word they used?
Tauryatrika.
Tauryatrika, and also another word.
Bhavuka.
Yeah, bhavikala, bhavikaha. That means a very sentimental person, just showing bhava, emotion, but no substance behind it. Substance meaning no Vedanta, no understanding. And they couldn't recognize Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came to deliver everyone. And it is said in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita that he was catching everyone with his net. But there were some people that were escaping the net of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And these were the sannyasis. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to devise another way to catch these people. And we know, how did he catch them? What was the other way he devised? Sannyasi. But two aspects of his being. One was his humility, and the other was his beauty. So when he sat right at the back of the assembly, and Prakashananda Sarasvati was talking to his 10,000 disciples, Mahaprabhu sat at the back just where people wash their feet. You know, generally no one wants to sit in that place where people wash their feet. But Mahaprabhu sat there. And when he sat there, he displayed this humility that everybody was thinking, oh, you know, this is something. And then the second thing he did, he exhibited the effulgence, they said, of 1,000 suns. So beautiful that Prakashananda Sarasvati felt compelled to get up from his Vyasasan, walk all the way over to the back of where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sitting, take him by the hand, bring him right to the front of the assembly, sit him down. And just by this act of service to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, gave them his mercy. Mahaprabhu gave his mercy. So there's instances like that, so, you know, hard-hearted people, you know, Mayavadis, getting the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But yeah, Prabhupada is saying, even those who externally, Prabhupada is using his words very carefully, externally are in the movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and are propagating the movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but internally they are bereft. They are bereft. Now that is a very strong message and an important message for us ourselves, because, you know, we identify as ourselves as being in the Krishna consciousness movement. We may be involved in activities of propagating the Krishna consciousness movement. But if we have one quality, that can lead us to becoming bereft of the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And what is that one quality? Yes, Prabhu? Envy. Yes, Prabhu, you wanted to say something? Fault finding. Yes. Envy. This envy is a very dangerous sentiment. And this envy traps us in a cycle of bitterness and it prevents us from experiencing the genuine joy of Krishna consciousness and the joy of the accomplishments of others. Srila Jiva Goswami, he gave a very interesting definition of envy. He said, envy is the inability to tolerate the eminence of others. When we see someone else prospering and being prominent or eminent, we feel within ourselves something that is not able to tolerate that. Now, this is something that we grapple with in our Krishna consciousness. And it's something that our Shastras, recognizing that this is a big obstacle on the path of Krishna consciousness, it's a big obstacle on us getting the mercy of Mahaprabhu, gives us different advice on how we can deal with such envy. And envy, it manifests in very different forms. Sometimes it can be pretty gross. And sometimes it can be very subtle. Very subtle. So we have to be acutely conscious of this quality of envy. We should be able to recognize it when it arises in our consciousness and we should have some, at least theoretical ways of how we can counteract this. So I just want to refer some verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam, which talks about envy and how to overcome it. So I've got it on my phone, so hopefully. So the first verse I would like to refer to is from the fourth canto, eighth chapter, verse 34. And it is Gunadikan mudhan lipsed anukrosham guna damat matrim samanad anvichen na tapair habi uchate. Now, some of you all may recognize this verse. Anyway, the translation is, every man should act like this. When he sees a person more qualified than himself, he should be very pleased. When he meets someone less qualified than himself, he should be compassionate towards him. And when he meets someone equal to himself, he should make friendship with him. In this way, one is never affected by the threefold miseries of this material world. Now, this is a verse that we hear and we speak about often, but it's deep. So it says here, every man should act like this. When he meets a person more qualified, he should be very pleased. And we know later on, the 11th canto, it says we should serve such a person. We meet someone equal, we should make friendship, and someone less, we should show mercy. So the last category, someone less than us, is quite easy to do. Because it's very easy to see someone less than us. It's quite natural. I said one story in my last class, and I'll say it again. It was such a nice story. So this one person, he was a rich man from Delhi. But he decided to give everything up and go to Vrindavan and take Babaji initiation. So he went to Vrindavan, and then he looked for a Babaji to give him Babaji initiation. Then he asked the Babaji, please give me initiation. The Babaji said, I'm not really keen to give initiation. And he resisted. Then the person persisted. Then the Babaji said, okay. Right. I give you one task. If you can accomplish this task, then I will give you initiation. The man said, okay. And they said, what is the task? I want you to go around Vrindavan and I want you to find one person lower than yourself. You find that person, you tell me who that person is lower than you, then I'll give him. He give you Baba initiation. He said, you're so easy. You know, I will find such a person. So immediately he goes out to Vrindavan and the first person he comes across is the rickshawala. So he says, oh, this person is just a simple rickshawala. He's lower than me. So I'll go take him as someone lower than me as an example. Job done. Then he started to see this rickshawala was peddling and there was some sadhus at the back of his rickshawala. Then he said, hey, this rickshawala, he's always transporting sadhus. He's doing some seva for them. You know, maybe he's not lower than me. So he said, oh, better look. So the search continues. Then he saw a dog. He said, dog. This dog is lower than me. Then I'll go tell the Babaji I found a dog. Then he looked at the dog. He saw that dog is like whole day was very dusty, covered in raj dust. And he thought to himself, oh, this dog, 24 hours a day, he's associating with the dust of Raja. Maybe he's not lower than me. So the search continued. And then one morning, well, it goes on, but one morning he was, it's a bit of a gross example, he went to pass stool. And when he passed stool in the field, he looked down on his stool and then he saw a maggot, a worm. And he saw the worm was eating stool. He said, ah, this worm is eating stool. There can't be anyone lower. Then he thought to himself, you know, this worm, it's cleaning up Raja. It's eating up the stool, and by eating the stool, it's cleaning Raja. So he's doing great service. So he couldn't find anyone even lower than the worm. So he went to the master, and he said, Master says, okay, you found someone lower than you? He said, no, I couldn't. Why? Tell me. Then he told his experience. And then the Babaji says, okay, you qualified now. I give you initiation. This quality of being, you know, lower than the lowest, although we can repeat it, but to feel it is difficult. It's not so simple. So coming back to this verse, this verse is saying that one should be compassionate to one who is lower than oneself. One should make friendship with those equal. But even in our condition, even when someone is equal to us, even sometimes that is difficult to make friendship. And again, it's because of the envy. So what to speak about when one is superior to us? Firstly, to consider one superior to oneself, genuinely say, this person is superior to me, I should offer service. With a conditioned heart, sometimes that is not so easy. So what does Bhagavatam say? If one is struggling to see one superior to oneself, and because of the envy within one's heart, one is struggling, what does one do in that situation? What is the remedy? Maharaj, maybe you can step in at the side and share some of your realizations. I was asking Maharaj that you know, this verse from the Bhagavatam says that there are three categories of people we meet. Those are superior, those are equal, and those are lower. Those are lower, we show mercy. Those are equal, we make friendship. And those who are superior, then we worship them and serve them. But it's when our hearts are contaminated, it's very difficult to put ourselves in a place where we see people as superior. It's because of envy, you know. So what is the cure for that disease?
Actually, this verse spoken by Narad ji when he was giving instruction to Dhruva Maharaj. So since Dhruva Maharaj at that particular situation, very much envious, bad feeling for parents. Parents means a father and a stepmother. And Naradji were practically testing his mentality, whether this mentality is conducive for cultivation of Krishna consciousness. Because he was such a disturbed, thinking bad about father especially and stepmother. No, this is proper mentality for cultivation of Krishna consciousness, because whenever in this material world there are someone lower than us, some equal and some greater than us. So verse 10, please say on first line of the gunadhikam mudam lipset. If someone is superior, gunadhikam, this is verse?
Yes, gunadhikam mudham lipset.
Gunadhikam mudham lipset. If we find someone superior in any respect, health-wise, money-wise, wisdom-wise, Krishna conscious cultivation-wise, mudham means we should very much satisfied. Because mudham means pleasure. We say, oh, he deserves. Krishna has given this mercy. So we should not be, Sridhar Swami talks about, we should not be envious of him, rather we should have respect for him. Because he deserves and Krishna has provided superiority. Gunadhikam mudam lipset. And then?
Then anukrosham gunadamat.
Anukrosham gunadam. And if someone is lower in our quality, then we should bestow our mercy upon him. We should not disrespect. We should not dishonor. We should not insult him. But rather, we should bestow mercy upon. And if someone is equal to us, then we should not become rival. Rather, we should make friendship equality. So, and this proper mentality is very much conducive for cultivation of Krishna consciousness. Because Naradji, Dhruva Maharaj was on the way to Vrindavan, is coming. And on the, of course, not he was on the way, he just was out of town and going to forest. But at that point, Naradji instructed him this very important verse. What is the proper mentality our to cultivate Krishna consciousness? Gunadhikam mudam lipset. If someone is superior to us, mudam means pleasure, happiness, satisfaction, pleasure. We should not become envious. And if someone is lower than us, then we should be mercy upon. We should not disrespect anyway. And if equal, then we should make friendship, not rivalry. Okay. So this is the mainly the meaning of that verse, spoken directly by Naradji for Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj were on the way to Vrindavan.
Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you. So Maharaj says a few important points there, and that probably is an important point to lead to the second verse I wanted to quote. You know, if we find ourselves in the situation that even against our best intellect, we find it hard to curb, you know, what to do. There's another beautiful verse in the Bhagavatam. Before I say that, there's another verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam spoken by Sri Narada, where he explains the problem of envy. And this is chapter number 15, text number 8 of the 7th canto. He says, persons who want to advance in superior religion are advised to give up all envy of other living entities, whether in relationship to the body, words, or mind. There is no religion superior to this. So yeah, it's being explained that the highest form of religion, and for those who want to advance in the superior religion, the superior religion is Uttama Bhakti. They are advised to give up envy of all other living entities, whether in relationship to the body, words, and mind. We have to give it up if we want to advance. So how to give it up? What is the advice to give it up? I'll refer to another verse from the Bhagavatam. So this verse is again spoken by Sri Narada in the 15th chapter of the 7th canto. Santushtaha kena varajan na verte tapi varina. O pastaya jaiva jevya karpanyad griya palayate janaha. He says, my dear king, a self-satisfied person can be happy even with only drinking water. Only when one is driven by the senses, especially by the tongue and genitals, must accept the position of a household dog to satisfy his senses. So very, very important word here. The first word, santushtaha. We know tushtaha, Krishna is known as tushta Krishna. He's always satisfied. So this verse is saying, the cure for envy is to be tushta, satisfied. When one is satisfied, one is not looking for anything else. One is completely satisfied. So envy generally arises when we are not satisfied. When we see that person is getting certain praise for their words, or maybe their beauty, their body, or their mind, intellect. This verse says, words, body and mind. So we may feel some envy because of that. But if we're satisfied with the words we speak, if we're satisfied with the body we have, and if we're satisfied with the knowledge, the intellect we have, then there's no need to be envious of anyone else. So we have to learn to become self-satisfied. Now Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he gives one very simple way by which we can always be satisfied. Always feel self-satisfied. And what is this way he recommends? He said, if we can always think that my position is, I am internal servant of Krishna. If we can always be conscious that I am eternal servant of Krishna, my main business is to serve Krishna and give pleasure to Krishna, then we will be self-satisfied. Now, even that simple statement, if we analyze it, it is very deep. So if we know we are servants of Krishna and everyone else is servant of Krishna, and our only goal in life is to give pleasure to Krishna, so if someone is giving pleasure to Krishna in a better way, through their words, through their intellect, their body, ultimately it's Krishna that's being pleased the most. So what is the need to feel envy? So the real way to cure envy is to always put Krishna's pleasure in the foremost of our consciousness. And understand that we are servants of Krishna. And then finally, I just want to say, just speak briefly about three ways our acharyas also say of how we can deal with envy.
Krishna is in joya, I am Prakriti.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Yes. And you're quite right that if you read Srila Prabhupada's teachings and his books, Prabhupada doesn't focus on the negative, he focuses on the positive. He doesn't keep talking about envy. He talks about how we can become more Krishna conscious, how we can become self-satisfied, how by serving Krishna we become satisfied. So Srila Prabhupada always emphasized the positive, you know, the devotional service to Krishna. But anyway, the three ways I wanted to speak about, the acharyas say. The first is if we find that envy is creeping in our heart, is to tolerate it. You know, just like the dictates of the mind, we should tolerate it. So envy, we should tolerate it, and we should step out from the situation and look at it like from a third person to say, oh, there's envy in my heart. How interesting. And when you look at it from a third person point of view, you observe the envy and you do not respond to it, you just tolerate it. Then you're able to go. Just lift yourself out of it. Another example is given away, is to think that how Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, I am the ability in man. So when we see someone more qualified than us, we should think Krishna says, I am the ability in man. Or we should say, as Prabhupada says here, that if someone he's spreading Krishna consciousness in a wonderful way, in a big way, we should think that this person has been empowered by Krishna. How wonderful that Krishna has empowered this person. And admire that empowerment. And just see and pray that Krishna, if you like to use me as an instrument in the same way that you're using this person, if you so desire, you can empower me also. And the last one is appreciate. When we see that envy is in arising in our heart, then we immediately we think, how I can appreciate the service. How I can appreciate the service. Okay.
Actually, any useless thoughts or any kind of Maya effects and all these kind of things that don't matter, they fade away and they just, snapping out of it is important too, it makes it quicker. But it just, anything that used to appeal that doesn't matter, they just fade away anyway, don't they? Because just Krishna becomes more relevant, and the only thing that matters is, I don't know, the temple and the... I'm just a beginner, I'm just a factor, but I don't know, I think it's, I've noticed changes. I don't know, I think that's...
Yeah, basically what you're saying is, you're saying is if we are absorbed in Krishna consciousness, yes. There is no, there's no scope for envy. Yeah, that is a very, very good point, to be absorbed, but, you know, to be absorbed sometimes is not so easy also, but... Thank you for that. Yeah. Okay, so maybe I'll just summarize the class here and then we can stop and take any questions or comments. So the important point here is that we all need the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We do not want to be bereft of the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when we have the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we'll be able to recognize him. And what acts against us in this regard is envy. We can accept Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but if we become envious of the followers of Mahaprabhu, we become critical of the Krishna consciousness movement of Srila Prabhupada is saying, then we become bereft of the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. So very, in one sense, very simple instructions, but very deep and instructive also. So thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions or comments? Yes, Yadubar Prabhu.
Thank you for the class, Hare Krishna. I think it's important to understand that not all of Prabhupada's god brothers were critical. Some praised his efforts. In fact, Krishnadas Babaji said that there's no greater acharya than Prabhupada.
Yes.
And then he said, why? Because he spread the name and fame of the holy name all over the world.
Yes.
So some were really wonderfully appreciative of Prabhupada's efforts.
Yes. Thank you, Prabhu. I should have emphasized that point too. There were many godbrothers also that were, you know, Sridhar Maharaj and Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj and Puri Maharaj, prominent Vaishnavs who were not envious, and they praised Srila Prabhupada's efforts and glorified it. Thank you, Yadubar Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I like the point that we should be satisfied what we get. Just what springs to my mind is that verse, Ishavasya Idam Sarvam, that we should be satisfied with our quota. Because we think, oh, that person's got more than his quota. I want that, you know. One thing I wanted to ask is about spiritual envy, because you hear that in Prabhupada's books, how in the spiritual world there's also spiritual envy. So maybe you could, if you could kindly explain a little bit more about how spiritual envy works in the spiritual world.
Okay, I'll say something about that, the spiritual envy, but maybe I'll ask Maharaj first. So Maharaj Prabhu is asking that if you read Prabhupada's books, Prabhupada also says in the spiritual world there's envy. I read that also. So Prabhu is asking, how can there be envy in the spiritual world?
Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Anupar Premaiva Go Paramanam Kam Itya Gamat Pratham means prem of gopi in spiritual realm. This is prem, but in spiritual realm sometimes it is called lust. It is sometimes because some similarity is there often. So actually there is in world prem itself, it is a prem, no question of envy in the spiritual world. But sometimes the attraction or spontaneous love for Krishna is sometimes called envy, but it is actually prem, love. So there is no question of thinking. Premaiva go paramanam kam iti agamat pratha. The meaning of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that prem of gopis, sometimes it is called lust. But it is not lust, it is prem. So similarly, it appears apparently or outwardly that it is envy, but it is not envy in spiritual world. Rather, when love becomes completely condensed, then it becomes like Srimati Radharani, so man is very word is man. Radharani or gopi criticizing Krishna, bless me Krishna. So actually it is not envy, not anger, rather it is expression of intense love for Krishna. So something looks like apparently envy, but in a spiritual world there is no question. Of course, Srimad Bhagavatam, in the very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, Nirmat Saranam Shatam, the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam is not accessible to a person who is envious. Nothing. You could not. No question enter in the realm of devotional service unless and until we have envy. So So actually, this word is used sometimes, like for gopi, lust. It apparently looks like lust, but this is intense prem. Sometimes is what you say, it takes a form of envy or lust or even anger. In spiritual world, no question of any bad quality.
Thank you, Maharaj. Hare Krishna. Yeah, the center is Krishna. Whatever emotion there is, no self-interest, it's for the pleasure of Krishna. Whereas envy in the material world is self-interest. The same way, you know, lust and love, as Maharaj is explaining. When Krishna is center, when the goal is only the pleasure of Krishna, externally it may appear like the lust or envy of this material world, but it's not. It's an expression of love for the pleasure of Krishna. Thank you, Krishna. Any other questions or comments? Yes, Prayojan Prabhu.
Quote from a conversation, it's in Vrindavan, May 17th, 1977, and Prabhupada, he says, if death takes place, let it take here. There's nothing to be said new. Whatever I've had to speak, I've spoken in my books. He says, now you try and understand and continue your endeavor, whether I am present or not present. It doesn't matter. As Krishna is living eternally, similarly, living beings also live eternally, but when one has done service for the Lord, he lives forever. So you have been taught to serve Krishna, and with Krishna we'll live eternally. Our life is eternal. A temporary disappearance of this body doesn't matter. Body is meant for disappearance, so live forever serving Krishna.
Thank you. Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. So if there's no further questions or comments. Oh, David Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu. Just a question in terms of envy, that let's just say if someone shows symptoms of envy or like hostility, and how should we deal with those people?
Towards us?
If
someone is showing envy towards us, how should we deal with it? Maharaj, if someone is showing envy towards us, how to deal with it? So Prabhu is asking if someone is envious against us and we perceive it, how to deal with it.
So the question is, envy in our heart. Actually, we are thinking that someone is envious to us means most likely we are envious to someone. However, in general, in any bad quality, envy or other thing, when we detect that envy existing in my heart, simply we understand, realize that I am envious person. I have envy in my heart. As soon as this bad quality detected by us, it loses its potency. Usually we think that we are not envious, we are loving every person. But as soon as we detect our envy in our own existence, it not goes away all of a sudden, but it becomes very weak and gradually it goes away. So when we think that someone is envious to us, that thinking is not very much conducive. We should try to detect our fault by. And if it apparently looks like someone envious, then I deserve for that. Of course, I have deserve more punishment, more thing, but I am not getting enough punishment for my fault. So if someone is envious, must I have something really bad thing existing? Only he, I have hundreds of bad qualities, but he has detected only few and he's been. So better to find fault, like you very nicely you told the story of that initiation of that gentleman. He got initiated because he found that I am the Tinadapi Suni Chena Taro Rapi Sahishuna Amaninam Mandenak Amaninam Mandenak Nyo Sadahari. So, if really we want to get rid of our bad qualities, better we should at least to try to detect, find out our fault.
Very nice answer, Maharaj. Govinda Prabhu.
Thanks. So in the nectar of devotion, there's described 33 vyabhichari bhavs. The envy is one of them. And there's different examples of, like for example, sometimes the queens, they envy each other, Krishna's queens, and then there's others, they envy the good fortune of Radha and Krishna. So there's a section on in the Nectar of Devotion that describes envy as one of the, I guess, what's the English word for vyabhichari bhav? The emotions that come and go, the moods that come and go. So yeah, there's 33 of them.
33 ways of envy. Or the secondary. Yeah.
No, there's 33 vyabhichari bhavs. Envy is one of them.
Envy is one of them, yeah. Okay. Thank you.
The cowherd boys, when they wrestle, they get envious as well.
Okay. Thank you very much, Maharaj. Forgive me if I continue to sit here. I feel I made a mistake. So thank you very much for tolerating. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Go Premanande. Hare Bol.